sports, give you what you ask for. Talk sports, ay. Talk sports. Talk sports, give you what you ask for, ay.
Hour two, kicking off. Let's go straight to Cody McClure for some headlines.
Thanks, John. The Atlanta Falcons have reportedly let Julio Jones know that he will not be getting a new contract before the 2018 season. The wide receiver wants more money, and he's not getting it. The Falcons said, "No, Julio, we're paying you enough as it is. No more money for you." Is Julio Jones worth a new contract?
I mean, he's their best player. He's their best player. I mean, he does have some foot issues, I guess. But does it come down to what the punishment is, I guess, if you don't give him an extension? Like, is he going to hold out? Is he going to be disgruntled? Is he going to leave?
I'm not sure, but he's not going to get what he wants. He's not going to get what he wants. The Falcons told him they have no plans to give him a raise before the season. The team's logic in holding off on the contract reportedly is that it had not budgeted for a renegotiation this offseason. The Falcons remain focused on working out deals with other players like Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews, and Ricardo Allen. He's currently in the middle of a 5-year, $71 million extension. So he signed back in 2015, and he's essentially unhappy because he got leapfrogged like players like Sammy Watkins and Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I mean, Julio Jones, where do we rank Julio Jones in terms of best receivers in the league?
He's worth more than Sammy Watkins and Jarvis Landry.
We can agree on that. If I am Julio Jones and I'm looking and I'm getting paid less than Jarvis Landry, yeah, I'm mad too. I want to see a good old-fashioned holdout. I want to see some player actually be like, you know what? Nope, not coming. Give me the contract or I'm not coming. Now, usually they don't have the guts to do that because they want to get paid. They don't want to get fined. They need those paychecks. They want those paychecks. Who in their right mind is turning down, you know, how much money does he make per year? I assume he's probably close to $1 million a game, right?
$71 million, 5 years, $71 million deal. So that would be what, 12?
It's about 15. Fifteen times five is what? 75.
Right.
Is that right? God, I hope that's right. So yeah, he's close to 15 million. So he's getting, you know, basically $850,000-$900,000 per game. Now, granted, I know some of that's probably signing bonus, so his per game check probably a little bit lower, but just stick with me because I don't want to go too far into the details of it. But if I'm Julio, man, I'm worth more.
If he did just hold out, what's the worst that could happen?
He gets fined and he doesn't get paid.
But what are they going to tell him? I mean, they're not going to turn away Julio Jones.
What do you mean they're not going to turn him away? You mean they're going to pay him?
Yeah.
I would think so, man. Like, the only time I've really remember, I mean, the only time I've read about this happening, I don't remember it. I wasn't really old, but was, you know, Emmitt Smith did this in the early 90s, and they went 0-2, and then the Cowboys had to pay him because he made their team run. No pun intended. He's a running back. Get it? He made the team run. Like, imagine this Falcons offense without Julio Jones. Probably not good. Imagine Matt Ryan without Julio Jones. Not to mention, you know, we talked about Jarvis Landry. Imagine how Julio Jones feels seeing how much money Matt Ryan gets. Like, he probably thinks Matt Ryan's pretty good, but you know what Julio Jones probably really thinks? I make Matt Ryan a lot better. A conversation I do still want to have. We haven't got a chance to do it, but, you know, there is some loyalty talk when it comes to this trade, you know, in the NBA. A lot of people mad about the lack of loyalty shown to DeMar DeRozan, right? A lot of people mad at how the Raptors did DeMar DeRozan. Julio Jones needs to go out and try to get his money because of the injury issues. Like, it's his foot, right? Did he have some screws put in his foot? Was that the injury he had? I mean, he has to feel like he, I don't want to say borrowed time, but he probably feels like, hey, any moment I could get hurt again and not be at my same level. I'd love to see a good old-fashioned holdout. Like, you know what? Nope. You don't think I'm worth it? Then I'm just not coming. I know that's not popular to say because we as fans are supposed to always side with the team first mentality. We've all been tricked into feeling bad for these billionaire owners. You know, oh, well, you know, be loyal to the team. And then, of course, in the NFL especially, you know, Julio Jones didn't perform next year and they didn't want him anymore. They could easily cut him and then he gets no money. Or a lot less money, I guess I should say, because the NFL contract's not very heavily guaranteed. I mean, Julio Jones is probably what? He's still a top three receiver, right?
Yeah. I mean, Odell's Antonio Brown, Odell.
Odell's coming off of an injury, so who knows if Odell will be the same. And he's kind of in a similar situation where he wants paid. He didn't get paid, and then he got hurt. Like, if I'm Julio, I'll look at Odell and say, yeah, it could be me. But I still think it's like Julio, Antonio Brown, a healthy Odell. And is DeAndre Hopkins right there in the tier one? Is he worthy of being tier one with those other four? I'd say he is.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's everyone else.
Mike Evans. Guys like that.
I'd say tier two is AJ Green. AJ Green, Mike Evans. Then you go down a little bit, but I feel like those top four are clearly better than the others.
Right.
And maybe AJ Green would be better if he didn't have Andy Dalton, maybe. But for now, he's still tier two, in my opinion.
Him and Julio came out together, didn't they? 2008, I guess.
Were they the same class?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because I remember one came out of Georgia and the other one was Bama. People are talking like they're going to be two really big receivers, and they have been. Dennis 10, they found him in the middle of the street when they found him. The two men were trying to steal his car wing mirrors after a verbal argument turned violent. So that's all any of these sites say is basically they wanted the mirrors.
So they found him in the street. Was the car still there? Or did they get in the car?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I've read two or three different stories and nobody really has a lot of details.
Okay.
Comcast has dropped its $65 billion bid for 21st Century Fox.
Yeah, I saw where Disney stock really soared once Comcast dropped this bid.
Yeah, Disney has won out on this deal. Let's see. Brent Venables going to receive the largest contract for an assistant college football coach. The Clemson defensive coordinator, he's going to have a 5-year deal worth $11.6 million.
Okay. So a 5-year deal worth $11.6 million, so basically a little bit over $2 million a year. I mean, yeah. 2.4, I don't know what, yeah, 2.3 somewhere. Not necessarily important, just $2 million plus. years, I'm sure he has some type, you know, I'm sure he's not on the hook if he leaves, right? Does it say what buyout he has? Because I would imagine if I'm Brent Venables, this is a one-sided contract. Like, hey, I'll stay here. I'm not leaving to be a defensive coordinator anywhere else because, you know, Arkansas was trying to get him with, you know, Chad Morris was trying to get him to go down and join him at Arkansas. But if I'm Brent Venables, I still want that option to go off and be a head coach if someone comes calling.
There's no buyout for Venables if he takes a head coaching job. However, if he were to leave for another assistant job, he would pay 25% of the remaining part of the deal.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
And it's $2 million a year. With retention bonuses of $200,000 per year for the first 2 years and $400,000 for the final 3 years.
Okay.
So Brent Venables also getting paid. Not quite on the scale of guys like Julio Jones, but he's making a little money. Titans star Jarrell, who was this? This was Jarrell Casey yesterday. He's planning to ignore the NFL's national anthem rule. He will keep his protest going. The NFL apparently going to have to deal with at least one protester in 2018. As the Titans D tackle revealed yesterday, he plans to keep his protest ongoing.
This is probably the best player that has said he's going to demonstrate or is going to demonstrate. And Jarrell Casey's really good. He's a Pro Bowler. He didn't make All Pro though, right? He's just a Pro Bowler. Jarrell Casey's one of those guys that is not expendable.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he is not expendable for the Titans. He's not someone who could find himself blacklisted, if you will.
He said, I'm going to take a fine this year. Why not? I'm going to protest during the flag. That's what I'm going to say now. I'm going to take my fine. It is what it is. I ain't going to let them stop me from doing what I want to do. If they want to have these battles between players and organizations, this is the way it's going to be.
Apparently, he does not kneel. His demonstration is simply him raising a fist after the anthem. So I don't know if he will get disciplined. I don't know if this one will even be a huge, huge deal. I don't know.
Are people going to start having a big problem with fist in the air now?
I don't think so. I don't think so. They probably have more problem with Jarrell Casey addressing it, right? With Jarrell Casey letting it be known, you know, a month and a half, 2 months before the season starts that, hey, I'm going to do this. Basically like, hey, I got the money to pay the fines and I'm good. I'm good enough in this league where if I get cut, somebody will pick me up. And the Titans can't cut him. He's their best defensive player.
He's willing to take the risk.
Yeah. Yeah. As a Titans fan, Andrew, you're shaking your head. You don't like this? You're upset about this?
I don't think it's the best thing in the world.
What? Because of what?
Just the fact we're in the South, Nashville.
Oh, you mean people getting mad?
The Titans fans weren't very receptive to it last year.
Titans fans will be fine if you win. Titans fans will be fine if you win. Like, did attendance get hurt by it? I know, like, the crowd for the Week 17 game against Jacksonville, was it even a sellout with the playoffs on the line? I don't even remember if it was a sellout, but it was also, like, 8 degrees that day.
Yeah, and it was super cold.
And you kind of thought that Jacksonville would be resting their starters. And quite frankly, there are a lot of people that made the trip to Kansas City. Like, I had the option myself of, do I want to pay a couple $100, go to Nashville to watch a Week 17 game, or would I rather save my money and go to Kansas City? And I chose to save my money and go to Kansas City. And then I went to New England, and we watched us get our ass beat. But, you know, we talked 2 days ago, the NFL more profitable than ever. Teams giving out bigger checks than ever. Jarrell Casey, I think, has ultimate job security and with the Titans. Be interesting to see how they handle it. Be interesting to see if a fist raise after the anthem draws the ire of the president.
I'm going to be really intrigued by this if everybody around the country who is against the protest now starts getting really angered by the fist in the air. Instead of, you know, because it used to be kneeling during the anthem, very disrespectful. It's awful. We, you know, is a fist in the air after the anthem. Are people going to have a problem with that?
You probably shouldn't, right? Because the whole reason that people didn't like the kneeling for the anthem was that it was during the anthem while the flag was out. They felt like it was disrespectful to soldiers. Like, after the anthem, a fist in the air, it isn't. Isn't those things. So it'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to see Diane Black's new campaign commercial about it. As she does something to a Jarrell Casey jersey. Can't wait.
Yeah, Diane Black. Jarrell Casey puts his fist in the air. Let me tell you a little something about fists.
Okay. You got any more headlines?
Has to do with a porn star.
This is somewhat sports related. Go for it.
Mia Khalifa has found herself a quarterback.
Love me some Mia Khalifa.
Sadly, it's not Chad Kelly. It's not Chad Kelly. It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wait, what?
She's found herself a real quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo was captured by paparazzi taking porn star Mia Khalifa on a date. They hit up the Avra restaurant in Beverly Hills last night, apparently. A dinner date with one of the biggest porn stars in the world.
Mia Khalifa, it makes sense. Like, I understand why she wants to go out with Jimmy Garoppolo. I do not understand why Jimmy Garoppolo is taking Mia Khalifa on a date.
I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. At the end of the date, the two walked to a waiting car together. Apparently, Jimmy had a big smile on his face. Who knows what was going on under that table? Apparently, they toasted with wine together at the dinner, so they got a little wine. Yeah.
Who is that?
That's Mia Khalifa.
That's not Mia Khalifa.
That's not Mia Khalifa?
No, who is that?
Oh, this is Kiara. Why are they talking about Kiara? Is there a different porn star?
I don't know. You have the article.
No, that's her. That's her. That's who that is. You might be familiar with her work. She starred in a Keeping Up with the Kardashians spoof.
Oh, they're saying it's Kiara, not Mia.
Back in 2015.
It's a different person. It wasn't Mia? It was a different girl? Like, what happened here?
Porn star Kiara Mia. Is that not Mia Khalifa?
No. Do we get confused on... Can we not read?
Can we not read?
Yes, I'm lumping both of us in because I saw the headline. I told you to look it up. You have the article in front of you.
You told me it was Mia Khalifa, and I didn't fact check it.
So, again, I didn't blame you. Me being the team leader I am, I said, can we not read?
I could have fact checked it.
You have the article. Just
either way, it's a porn star. Does it matter if it's Mia Khalifa or not? This is a different porn star. She may be related to Mia Khalifa. I don't know.
I think she is.
She's been in a couple of films. Cougars Gone Wild 2, Bra Busters 4. She's also been nominated for a bunch of AVN awards over the years, including MILF Performer of the Year in 2015.
I understand why Jimmy Garoppolo is taking her out. I didn't get the Mia Khalifa thing. I get the Kiara thing.
Turns out it's not Mia Khalifa. Yeah.
It didn't make sense. Then as you're scrolling, I'm like, wait a second. Who is that? Makes a little bit more sense now. Okay, Jimmy G. Do your thing, playa. Going to the British Open leaderboard.
Ooh.
For now, Kevin Kisner. Or is it Kisner? It's Kisner. Kevin Kisner.
Did you say Kevin Costner?
I did not say Kevin Costner. I said Kevin Kisner. Or I said Kisner. And it's Kisner.
Apparently we botched the names earlier.
Okay,
I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, Andrew had tweeted in... That if you had...
Huge baseball news here. The Indians, the Cleveland Indians, have acquired Adam Simber from the Padres. Simber, right? Yeah, Simber. Along with Brad Hand. He's a closer. Yeah. Pitcher, yeah. The Cleveland Indians acquire Padres closer Brad Hand in a stunning move. The deal first reported by Ken Rosenthal and Robert Murray, and if anybody knows what they're talking about, it's Ken Rosenthal and Robert Murray in the baseball world. So Brad Hand, catcher Francisco Mejia, he's the top piece going to San Diego. All that's factually correct, Andrew. Yes, yeah.
So, Brad Hand's a pretty good relief pitcher, right? I do remember during one of the baseball games I watched this year. I mean, whenever the Braves were playing the Padres, they were talking about how good Brad Hand was and how he'd probably be moving. And the Braves announcers were like, it could be someone who is playing in Atlanta this year because the Braves need relief pitchers.
So,
and he's headed to Cleveland.
So, Hand is a relief pitcher?
Yeah.
Hand... Relief. Okay, got it. Makes sense.
So the Braves, are they going to do anything, Andrew, or no? Because, I mean, there's one relief pitcher that probably could have been had. I don't know. I don't want to say for cheap because I don't know the details, but The Braves need something to kind of get a boost for this second half of the season now that they find themselves in second place. Machado's gone. They'd been linked to Machado a little bit, although probably better for the Braves that they didn't go after him because they don't really need a third baseman. Well, what's the talk, Andrew? Are they going to get a relief pitcher or what? Are they going to go after a starting pitcher? Can you help me out here? I'm kicking it to you. The people on the YouTube stream want to know, are the Braves going to go out and make a move for a pitcher, Andrew?
This is your big
moment. I definitely
moment.
Hope they do, but they better be next. There's still some people out there. But
there's a lot of relief pitchers on the market, I would assume, right?
Yeah, there's still definitely some good ones out there, but teams are closing.
You know what? Cut your mic off, intern Andrew.
He had his moment to shine.
And he blew it. He blew it. You had your chance. You blew it. Can I get back? Was that so important that I couldn't give the rest of my British Open leaderboard update?
Look, I'm just here to keep up with the news, and the people need their baseball news. Okay?
Damn it, I got excited because in my pool, I picked Justin Rose, and I saw Justin Thomas surging to the top of the leaderboard, and I got my Justins confused. Damn it. Right now, Kevin Kisner, Eric Van Rooyen, Tony Finau, Xander Lombard, all, I guess, atop the leaderboard. Kisner's the only one at 5 under. The rest are 4 under. The next American, Justin Thomas, at 3 under. Let's see. Can we get a Tiger update? What's Tiger looking like? Let's hit the big names. Let's tell the people where the big names are. Tiger had started his day with a birdie.
Tiger's okay. He's only through 4 holes, but he's 2 under.
Two under through 4?
Tiger's tied for 7th right now.
Okay. All right, Eldrick. Let's go.
Yeah, Tiger looking
good. I've always said that you can't let Tiger get hot over across the pond. That was a little Irish, but I am now an Irish golf commentator. I'm from Europe as well. Is that okay?
That's fine with me. I'll just continue to be British or Scottish or either one, really. I mean, you could be either one. You can be Irish. I'll be British.
You always make me too self-conscious to give mine.
Or I could be from Holland. Isn't that weird?
Yours are so much better. So Tiger's 2 under through 4. Okay. Where are the other big names? Give me another big name. We got Spieth. Where's
Danny
Spieth
Willett.
At?
Danny Willett.
I don't think Danny Willett considers a big name. Jordan okay. Spieth.
John Rahm.
Tied for 68th down there with Jordan or Justin Bleepin' Rose. Way to go, idiot. Both of them are 1 over.
Spieth apparently had a big mistake this morning, which he called, quote, a brain fart.
I hate that term.
I do too. It sounds disgusting.
That's one of the terms that I do not like.
I agree.
Thank you.
You have words you just don't like. I don't like the word fart. It's not a word. Some words are just.
It's just dumb. It's a dumb, gross.
It's like a 12-year-old. Yeah.
Grow up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. So, be a little more elegant, Jordan Spieth.
Please.
Apparently, he had some kind of problem, though.
Well, I hope he misses the cut again because I don't like Jordan Spieth.
I do, too.
My guy, Rory. Where's Rory at? All right. Rory is 1 under through 12, according to ESPN's live tracker.
Okay. Ricky Fowler.
Where's Ricky? Ricky, Mr. I Never Win a Major. Where's Ricky Fowler?
For 18th, along with Rory.
Okay, he's 1 under as well, but he's
Rory's
finished
not,
with his record.
Right, yeah, Rory's not through yet.
Rory's still out on the course and maybe going to, you know, post another birdie or two. Ricky is in the clubhouse at 1 under.
Mm-hmm.
Where else we got?
Henrik Stenson.
Do we care about
Henrik
Stenson? Tied
for 38th.
Okay, Henrik Stenson, tied for 38th, okay.
Ian Poulter?
Yeah, I care about Ian.
I'm just stopping on the names I know.
Ian is one of my picks in my pool. Who we got? Where's Ian Poulter?
Tied for 38th with Henrik Stenson.
Damn it.
They're both even.
E means even, yes.
Yeah, that's what I knew that. Come on, I knew that. Let's see, Jordan Spieth, plus one. Justin Rose.
We've already talked about Spieth. We've already talked about
All right. Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen.
Okay.
He's plus one.
Okay.
I know that's
Dustin
a familiar
Johnson
name.
Dustin Johnson plus one as well. So some of the big names down there.
Charlie Hoffman.
Struggling.
Bubba Watson.
Bubba's not. Is Bubba still a big name? Bubba doesn't feel like a big name anymore.
Everybody knows Bubba.
Yeah, but he's not good anymore. Like, Bubba's closer to the John Daly than the Tiger Woods. Now, I know Bubba's not the I don't mean that Bubba is the same personality as John Daly, but I think when I think of Bubba Watson now, all I think of is his off the course being a jerk. Just him being mean.
Mm-hmm.
Him being no fun. Mm. Same as we thought of John Daly off the court more than we thought of him on the course.
Jason Duffner plus one. Here's one for you. Ernie Els. Isn't he like 84?
Ernie Els is old. He's two over. With Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, there's a big name. Phil Mickelson. Tied for 96th. He's two over.
Okay. Any big names we missed?
No, I think we pretty much covered everyone.
We have the most.
Sergio Garcia.
Oh, yeah, where's Sergio? I also picked Sergio in my pool. Where's he at?
He's plus two.
Damn it! I am not off to a good start on this pool.
He's only four holes in.
If he's already two over, it means it's probably going to get worse.
Your cousin, Patrick Reed.
The way you're scrolling, you're getting the numbers are getting bigger.
He's plus four.
Yeah. Yeah. Cousin Patrick.
Okay, here you go. Brent Snedeker. Do you have him in your pool?
No.
Well, he's five over.
I hope I don't have anybody else. So far, not so good. Justin Rose sucks. Francesco Molinari, he is one under. He's okay. He's hanging around. Ian Poulter, you said Ian Poulter was one under, right? Is that right?
I think so.
Charlie Hoffman, we got a Charlie Hoffman. He sucks too. You're shaking your head.
Charlie Hoffman, I'm looking for him right now. Still haven't found him.
He's
probably
even
not
through
a good
12.
Sign.
Even through 12.
Yes.
Where's Jimmy Walker? How's Jimmy Walker doing? Jimmy Walker, two under. Let's go, Jimmy Walker. Always love Jimmy. Love Jimmy. Adam Scott, where's he at? Adam Scott, one under. Okay. All right. We're all right. We're all right. The one time I didn't bleep and pick Tiger Woods, he's two under through four. And that was the best baseball and golf segment you'll hear all week. That's the best baseball and golf segment you'll hear all week.
Maybe of all time.
No, just this week.
To combine those two sports the way we did?
Nah, just of the week probably. Let's go catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports right here on Fan Run Radio. Well, got to be careful talking golf sometimes, boys. Apparently, Bubba is still good. My bad. Couple people on the YouTube live stream pointed out. Sean on Twitter pointed out that Bubba has three wins this year, most on tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bubba's been great all year.
Shut up. You didn't know that. So does Bubba just suck at the majors now? Because I do feel like he sucks at the majors. Right? Like, what's the highest he's finished at the majors this year, intern Andrew? I'll give you 1 second. Hurry up.
We're not afraid to go silent.
Yeah, we will give you time to find out. But I trust your Google skills. I will trust your Google skills. Because very, very casual golf fan, a.k.a. I watch the majors only, and I don't even watch them all the time. Every time I've watched a major this year, Bubba's not really anywhere around. But he won, I guess a military one in West Virginia. Gamble Man on the YouTube live stream says he donated a pile of money to the vets after that win. Damn it, now I feel bad for saying he's just known for being a jerk. Bubba Watson supports the troops.
He also tied for fifth at the Masters.
I'm just an idiot. Okay, never mind. he finished tied for fifth at the Masters this year? What do you shoot on? Do you have what he shot on Sunday?
I don't know about Sunday, but minus nine overall.
Really trying to defend this one.
No, I was just going to see. Like, I didn't feel like he was in the in contention at the Masters. Maybe he snuck in with a good Sunday. I'm grasping at straws here. I'm drowning, and this is the lifeboat I was talking about in hour one. I'm drowning, and instead of you trying to pull me into the boat, you just put your foot on my head.
I'm just pushing the boat further away from the
You're
ship.
You're just dipping me underwater.
He didn't make the cut at the U.S. Open, so yeah, got that going for
there
him.
There you go.
You knew.
I told you.
Yeah, you knew there was something about Bubba that's been off this year.
That's right.
When you've watched him, he hasn't been good.
That's right. And to be fair, I watched a little bit of the Master 2 because Patrick Reed. Okay. We're working on our most overrated things in sports since year 2000.
Yeah, we got to three and then forgot about
it. Well, no, I didn't forget about it. I sent out a tweet and was letting people give us some suggestions.
All right.
We're an interactive show.
Right. So far.
I didn't forget about it. This is me doubling back.
I forgot about it.
Unless you got a mouse in your pocket, don't say we.
Maybe I do. Sometimes I pet him, George. You know where that's from? George and Lenny. I pet him too hard, George.
What is that? The
Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, the thing that was in my mind was The Grapes of Wrath. I knew it wasn't it. I was trying to get to Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Mostly because of your insensitive impression.
Insensitive?
Mm-hmm.
Was that insensitive?
Christopher Balkan says game day. Game day as in, I guess, college game day? How do you feel about game day being overrated?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. I don't watch it.
I respect Vulcan's take, but I love game day.
Why do you love game day? Because it just means college football is right next?
It's just a mood. It's not necessarily that the content of the show is good, but it's a mood. You wake up, you have your coffee, and you realize you got a whole day of football ahead of you, and that just kicks it off. You know what I mean? So you get that whole, hey, we're coming to your
is
city.
Is that still the theme song?
God, I wish they'd change that. I will say.
Is this still the theme song?
I think so, yeah, as far as I know.
If you want a little yin and yang, come along.
Head up to Knoxville. They should change it to Smoky Mountain Rain. That's what they should do.
I don't watch College Game Day. I'll sometimes go to the picks portion at the end of the show. That one's close enough to kick off. I can watch that one. But they're so bad at their predictions, and I never could respect them because they never embrace the gambling line. So, like, as they're making their predictions for Iowa versus Northwestern or Oklahoma State favored by 25 over some Big 12 school, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's easy to pick Oklahoma State. Are they going to cover the number? Now that gambling will come out of the shadows, I do wonder if, A, they'll be their own network, or if, you know, at the very least, ESPNU, or maybe this is what Fox Sports 2 could do, or ESPN2, just run a straight gambling analysis of these college football games.
ESPND for degenerates. Instead of deportes.
No, I get it.
Yeah. I think that
No, it
game
makes
day,
sense. I understand.
Well, they've over the last couple of years, they've started to sort of change that with the bear dude that they brought in. You know, he does. They talk about the lines in the games now, the over-unders.
Yeah, but very, very rarely.
I mean, I'd say he's
Bear has, like, what, a 15-minute segment at most?
Yeah, but he's – I mean, that's – fairly significant part of the show.
He makes his, what, three picks, though, right? I mean, he's not looking at every game. He's making three. Now, sure, you probably don't need to be betting on every college football game. Yeah. You should probably try to zone in on three, sure, but it's not a big part of the show.
Game day, to me, is a mood. You wake up with your coffee. You got a whole day ahead of you. And you just kind of have game day on in the background as noise while you're, like, you know, making your mimosas or your brunch or whatever.
To me, I'm trying to get something productive done at that point of the day. That way I can sit around and watch football the rest of the day.
What do you mean, productive?
Hey, you go walk to the farmer's market. You go eat breakfast. You go get brunch or something. I don't know. To be fair, I don't watch the Sunday NFL pregame shows either. I just don't like pregame shows. I think all the information you need, you have found the week of the game. Now, granted, our job's a little bit different than the average person's who may not be able to be up to speed throughout the entire week because they talk about it on the radio. So maybe they need to watch and find some news, and they enjoy the stories. I don't need Tom Rinaldi making me cry on Saturday morning. No thanks, Tom.
Yeah, I could do without that segment.
No thanks, Tom Rinaldi. Don't need you making me cry. Nope, not on Saturday morning. Now, Sunday, if you want to do it, if you want to hit me at 8 a.m. before I go to church, you want to get the juices flowing, get me feeling emotional. Okay, we'll talk. Saturday morning at 11 a.m., Tom Rinaldi, you stay the hell off of my TV.
It does kind of make things, it does kind of put a damper on the mood for the rest of the show Saturday morning with Tom Rinaldi. Did you know that Northwestern's punter had AIDS? And he grew up in a poor neighborhood. Like, it's just the whole, everything's sad. I'm with you there. There's no need to,
Corso,
for that.
Corso's a shell of himself. It's sad to see him on there.
He needs to be taken.
I don't like Desmond. I do still enjoy Kirk Herbstreit, even though he sold us out for Ferciano, whatever. He was just trying to defend Peyton.
Corso, I do think it's time to go ahead and take him off.
Sounds to me like you don't really like game day. You just like college football Saturday.
I told you, I don't necessarily like the content of the show. It's just a mood. It's hearing Chris Fowler's voice in the background, or I guess now it's Reese Davis, right? But just hearing that in the background, you just hear some random story about Stanford or whatever, and you're, oh, Mike Leach did what? Oh, yeah. When you're making your mimosas, it's just a mood. It's a certain mood on a Saturday morning. The show itself's not necessarily great.
Recruiting services, anything UGA were Vulcan's other submissions to the most overrated since 2000 list.
Tennessee. Recruiting services and what?
I don't know what he means by recruiting services. I guess maybe that they don't really translate to wins for Tennessee. I don't know. And anything Georgia related. All right. Tennessee says Jim Harbaugh. Does Jim Harbaugh belong on the most overrated since 2000 list? Jim Harbaugh, the college coach, is what we will have to separate it to, because I think getting to a couple NFC championships and winning the NFC once and getting to a Super Bowl keeps him from being on the list in general. But as a college coach, has Jim Harbaugh been overrated?
Yeah, definitely as a college coach. But I think that first part you said is like the disclaimer, you know, I mean. I don't think you can call him in general overrated because of the NFL success.
We'll say Jim Harbaugh, the college coach. Does he belong on the top five overrated since 2000 sports list?
No. I mean,
I'm going to keep him on here in case we can't find anything better. I'll make the note.
How about Les Miles and LSU?
At what point?
Well, because they were always kind of positioned as the challenger to Alabama, and they just never were. Except for 2011, one game, when they won 9-6. That was the only time. And other than that, they were just the TV, they always set it up to say LSU, like it's this big rivalry, and LSU is going to give Alabama a game. Occasionally, they'd give them a bit of a game, but like Alabama always stayed in control.
I mean, I never thought Les Miles was a good coach.
A lot of people did. I mean, but you take away his two-loss national title.
Sure.
And all that talent, that 2011 team that Alabama shut out once they had time to prepare for him. It just, I don't know, just kind of that. When I'm thinking college football, I think of Les Miles probably.
Okay. I would personally go Harbaugh so far over Miles, but maybe you're right. Maybe that could be a poll question. Who's more overrated, Les Miles when he was at LSU or Harbaugh at Michigan? Dylan Lane tweets in, Shaka Smart, Richard Sherman, Kobe Bryant. Got to mark off Kobe. Kobe won rings. Kobe was, you know.
Shaka Smart, that's a good one.
Kobe's one of the 12 best players in NBA history.
Shaka Smart's a good one.
Richard Sherman. Never really got exposed. Yeah, you can make the case that he didn't cover the other team's best receiver. You could make you could say that he would be a lot less good without Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, you know, in the deep secondary. But I'm going to say Shaka Smart probably belongs in some, you know, in consideration. Shaka Smart had the one good Final Four run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that,
what about Kansas basketball?
I don't think.
They've won all the Big 12 titles.
I think you're looking at this from a different lens. You're looking at this of like underachievers. Like LSU underachieved, but they still won 8, 9, 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kansas basketball, like you said, has won what?
Yeah, they still won consecutive. Okay, yeah.
They do have the one national title.
Yeah, you probably can't put them in there.
Now, I mean, you could say they probably underachieve in March.
What about the USC dynasty?
What do you mean? They're a dynasty.
But they weren't really a dynasty. To me, Alabama kind of came along and showed what a real college football dynasty was. Whereas USC faded away pretty quick.
Got some stuff on Shaka Smart, looking pretty overrated.
Give me some of Shaka's credentials, because Texas might be having a little bit of buyer's remorse right now. I'm not going to cape for Rick Barnes.
2010, 2011, Final Four.
Right, made the Final Four.
2011, 2012, lost in the round of 32.
To Michigan, right?
Second round.
I believe they lost to Michigan that second round.
2013.
First round,
second
right?
Second round.
Okay. Hold on. Are they calling it second round because...
It says round of 32.
Okay. Just making sure that they weren't...
And then ever since then, round of 64.
I was making sure you weren't getting caught up in the second round.
First four.
Right, okay. So he has, what, 2 tournament wins since making that Final Four? 2 tournament wins since 2011? That's not good.
And he's had some pretty good records in the regular season. 29-7, 27-9, 26-9.
I'm not going to pump up my boy Will Wade either, but there was a pretty big drop-off on Shaka. You know, I guess when Shaka was coaching at VCU and Will Wade had went to UTC.
At VCU, Shaka was 163-56.
Okay.
And at Texas, he's 50-50.
Oh, wow. He's been there for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
He's 50-50?
21-31 in the Big 12.
Oh, I think we got to include Shaka, don't
Shaka we? Smart is officially going on the list. Shout out to Dylan Lane. Let's go with Shaka Smart because, yeah, man, 50-50 at Texas. What's Rick Barnes here at Tennessee? Now, I know, like, the first year was pretty rough, but he still has to be better than 50-50, right? Is he 60-40? No, 60%. Winning 60% of your game is probably tough.
He's 57-44.
Okay.
27-27 in the SEC.
Okay. So that's probably, what, like 56% win percentage?
Nailed it.
Okay.
Danica Patrick.
Did anyone think she was good?
People thought she was going to be good. I don't probably.
Did people think she was going to be good, or do people hope she was going to be good?
Maybe people hoped she was going to be good. Looking at a list from NBC Sports, they say Brett Favre.
Well, let's see. Favre won what? 1 Super Bowl? Did he make 1 other one? They made 1 other one and lost to Denver. Made 2 Super Bowls his entire career. I would say he probably belongs on the most overrated list. I would say he probably does have a place on there. I don't know if he's top 5. But Brett Favre, I mean, was tough, put up a lot of numbers, played a long time. It's hard to say that he loses greatness because the Packers didn't miss a beat because they had Aaron Rodgers. But they were better, you know, Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre.
As a quarterback,
yeah.
Absolutely.
BJ tweets in that nobody thought Danica was going to be good. She was just a publicity stunt. To me, that's how, you know, very casual. At the time, maybe even, you know, at the time I could be considered a very casual race car fan, NASCAR fan. Now I don't even consider myself a casual fan. But, you know, maybe back when she debuted, I still kind of kept up with it. My mom really likes NASCAR, so I think I would watch with her. But I never really thought of Danica Moore as a publicity stunt that they hoped she would be good.
T.O. and A-Rod getting some submissions.
Who?
T.O. and A-Rod.
T.O.'s like sixth all time.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. Where's T.O. all time in touchdowns? He's like number two or number three.
How about Tony Romo?
Man, I like Romo.
I think Tony Romo's got to go on the list.
I think Romo's underrated.
You think?
I would.
Is he underrated because everybody says he's overrated?
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those weird things where everyone liked Tony Romo when he first came in because he was exciting. He was a undrafted gunslinger that made exciting plays in the pocket, and then you got tired of him because he played for the Cowboys, and they were on TV every week, so when they lost, it was always his fault.
So the ones we've pretty much nailed down that we're in total agreement on are the draft class, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Andrew Luck, Shaka Smart.
We're in agreement on there. I am so far considering Jim Harbaugh as a college coach because I thought he was going to go to Michigan and just pick up where he left off in the NFL.
I'm considering Les Miles, maybe Tony Romo.
I'm scrolling through the list.
I'm trying to
agree with you. Jordan Oliver said the University of Southern California. So not just the dynasty, but just the
just
school.
USC. Okay. I mean, just USC football, really, since that Pete Carroll run. I guess you could always say the same, though, with like Notre Dame as being overrated.
Got a vote for Greg Oden. Oh, man. Greg Oden was good when he was healthy. I know that we put Luck on the list, so maybe Oden, you know, does belong on the bust overrated list.
Well, in that regard, Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Right? Well, Rose at least got him an MVP.
Yeah. But then he just hurt every body part after that.
And I got a couple
votes. Poor
guy
just fell apart.
Got a couple votes for Greg Oden. John Calipari.
That's a good one.
Ah, man, he makes a lot of Final Fours.
Sends a lot of guys to the NBA.
He does that, but he sends, you know, he makes the Final Four at a pretty good rate. He makes the Final Four at a pretty good rate. 865-546-8200 if you'd like to join the McKinney team hotline. We'll take some phone calls in hour three. Paul Buchanan says Brock Lesnar. You bite your tongue, Paul. Brock is a three-sport athlete.
Michael Vick.
He might be the first person who is the UFC heavyweight champion in the world while also being the WWE Universal Champion. He might just do that. You never know. You be careful who you're calling overrated, buddy.
Yao Ming.
But if you want to join the McKinney team hotline, the number is 865-546-8200. If you are in the market to buy or sell a new home, call 865-548-8267. Get in touch with Travis or Emily over there. Tell them we sent you and let them know what you're looking for. Let them know what you're trying to do, and they are going to help you. You can visit ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. That's ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. Hour two in the books. What do we got on deck for hour three, Cody? We got this or that coming up. Still got to talk about this Kawhi trade.
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes, as always. Headlines, we're pretty much booked. We'll squeeze in a couple phone calls if you want to hop on. If not, no worries. We'll catch you some other time. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.